Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and have mentioned how important these words are to us in this church age. And we're in verse 2, and we don't get very far very fast in this class, but we do, don't laugh, Scott, but we do dig into some things in serious depth. Sometimes so deep that you can't see the bubbles, it seems. And yet, maybe that's where we should be. But the first part of Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You'll notice the word "our" is in italics. He's the author and finisher of faith, but he also is the author and finisher of our faith. We know from Revelation 19:13 that his name is called the Word of God. He's got a lot of names, a lot of titles. Author and finisher of faith is one. The Word of God is another. And we find in Romans 10:17, this statement. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. This is also the Word of God who presents to us in however many pages are in our Bible, Jesus. Now, we will be responsible for the 100 chapters that Paul wrote, okay? And I read a wrong verse to you last week, which I mean is a good verse, but I wanted to read you a different one. In Romans 2:16, let me turn here. Because we find how important Paul's gospel is here in this verse. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the author and finisher of faith, according to my Paul's gospel. Okay, so last week we finished, I had you turning to Psalms 2:12. Most of you seem like you had a Scofield Bible. Excuse me. In the last part of Psalms 2:12 reads, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Speaking of the Lord Jesus. The word trust there, Scofield notes, is the characteristic Old Testament word for our New Testament word, faith or believe. And it occurs, as he noted, 152 times in the Old Testament. I mentioned it might be more than that. I don't know. There are seven different Hebrew words. Hebrew was the language the Old Testament was written in. There are seven different Hebrew words used in the Old Testament that translate into our English as trust. Thus, what's number seven? Yeah, so it points to spiritual perfection or spiritual completion. And so the fact that there's seven different Old Testament Hebrew words that translate into the English trust shows that spiritual perfection can only be obtained by putting our faith and trust wholly in the Lord. Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay. There's another Old Testament word that translate also as trust is the word trusteth. You know, if you have a spell checker on your computer, it'll kick that word out real quick because it doesn't recognize it. It's an old English word, trusteth. The word trusteth is found 17 times in Old Testament scripture. Now, certain numbers ring a bell. with us louder than others. And 17 is one of those. 17 is a number that points to victory in Christ Jesus. We have in our songbook, I think maybe both of our songbooks, a song entitled Faith is the Victory. And the chorus goes, faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. So the inspiration behind this song was 1 John 5:4. And 1 John 5:4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're spending a lot of time talking about faith, the different aspects of it. Is it complicated? Maybe. Subject. It's got a lot of different tentacles to it. It's a big subject. And so the point of going over all this is to again note that the word trusteth, which is found 17 times in the Old Testament, also references faith. In one place we find this word trusteth is in Psalms 34:8. And remember, the word trusteth equates to faith. Psalms 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man to put his faith in him, is a way we could read it. Another, we mentioned last week that faith is an action word. It's an action noun. And this was one of the places where we find faith in action. Another place where we see a similar statement is in Psalms 84:12. In Psalm 84:12, I'll give you a second to get there. 1001, okay. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee, who has faith in thee. Another one that I really like is Jeremiah 17:7. I would encourage you to read these verses is in Jeremiah 17 that surround Jeremiah 17:7, so you can get the full scope of what's being said here. Jeremiah 17:7 says this, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Now here's something that's kind of interesting. In Jeremiah 17:7, we really find a double portion of faith. And I'll explain how this is. The word trust or trusteth, as we just learned, in the Old Testament equates the New Testament words faith or believe. So Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth or puts his faith in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. The second word that references faith here in Jeremiah 17:7 is the word hope, because hope also points us back to trust, for hope means to trust or to put faith or trust in someone or something, to confide in someone, to find sure and firm hope. Sure, S-U-R-E. I don't know how that came out, but that's why I wrote it down. The full overcomer finds their sure and firm hope in our lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our hope, who is our life, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Paul writes in 1 Timothy the first chapter, the first verse, a greeting, which he writes similar But he writes these words to his son in the faith, Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, which is our hope, which is our hope. To Titus, another son of his in the faith, Paul wrote in Titus 2:11 through 14. Why don't you turn there? It's not that hard to find. It's right after Timothy. Timothy's. Titus 2:11. And he writes, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So there are many, many other scriptures you can look up that show how the Lord is our sure and firm hope. And I'll give you a few written by Old Testament worthy of faith, David. And while you're turning to Psalms 31, I'll ask you this question. What was David's last name? Okay, that's not important, but what was Moses' last name? What was Abraham's last name? Do we have any idea which one he's talking about? Of course we do. Okay, you there yet? Psalms 31:24, so we can get away from all this. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, we'll read some more good courage statements here in a little bit. Psalm 38:15. David wrote these. How old did David live? Whatever his last name was. How old did he live? Anybody know? Remember? 70. Good one, Scott. 70. Anybody 70 here? Older than 70. Okay, so think about that. Psalms 38:15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. Psalm 39:7. Next psalm. Psalm 39:7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. My hope, my faith, my trust is in thee. Psalm 146:5. Happy is he, that's Psalms 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, this is just but a few of the hundreds of scriptures that use the word hope, a word that also augments faith. So let me ask a question, and I'm going to ask several as we go along through here in the next couple of weeks if the Lord tarries. What does a man of faith do? There could be a ton of answers for this. Think about it. Trust the Lord? Oh, yeah, that's true. How about pray? Men of faith pray to the living God. They pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. They pray in faith, believing, expecting to receive exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or think, and ask him to accomplish the impossible task placed before them. We learned in Hebrews 12:1, that we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. It's a race that's run by faith, isn't it? And there will be some impossible obstacles on that race course. A man of faith trusts in the Lord, who is his sure and firm hope. A man of faith looks unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, for such a man of faith knows that it is the Lord Jesus himself who personally designed the race course of faith that he is to run upon, trusting the Holy Ghost for the expert guiding work on his track of life. That's for goes for all of us, okay? Why did he give us the Holy Ghost? Many reasons. One, so he could be our guide. To what? To God's best. Correct. And so, again, I reference Paul's Holy Ghost-inspired words of encouragement of Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And this race, by faith, we run this race by faith, just like all the Old Testament worthies did. They ran their course by faith. We also learned, you know, we talked about this, I think, earlier, but we'll go back. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3:5 for a minute. Hebrews again 12:1 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How long does that light stay red before it turns green? We're still thinking we're running a race, and we are, you know. I mean, it's frustrating sometimes, some of the things that, you know, and you're the ninth car in line and the light turns green and the seventh car turns yellow and the eighth car gets through on the last of the four turns red and you're sitting there for waiting for the next green light, right? Patience, my dear friend. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says this concerning patience, that it is the Holy Ghost who directs our hearts into the patient waiting for Christ if we will only yield to his directing. Here's how it reads. And the Lord direct your hearts into the A, love of God, B, and into the patient waiting for Christ. Note that in this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:5, we find the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and the Holy Ghost, who is our guide and director into God's best. And 1 John 5:7 makes note of the fact that God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all in agreement. Where else would they be? 1 John 5:7, he writes, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. A man of faith believes all of this, for this is indeed the Word of God. Now, we have said it like this a couple times during this study, that the umbrella that hangs over all the 80 words of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is faith. We have an umbrella of faith over those words. But it actually covers the whole Word of God, faith. And if you think about it, it goes from Genesis 1, 1 to Revelations 22, 21, if that's the last verse, and I think it is. To achieve full overcoming faith, we have been emphasizing the words that are said here in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. To achieve full overcoming, sugloronimus, joint heir, with Christ's faith, We must be focused and always looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and always, always looking for his soon appearing. Our pastor brings this out constantly. Mentioned it again, I think, Friday night. So, what is faith? Well, we've mentioned much concerning faith in our early lessons in this study, and we'll get into this in a little more depth here this morning, because faith is the main subject matter discussed here in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And have you ever heard the statement, if we were asked the question, what is faith? Well, have you ever heard the statement, faith is not sight? Give me a verse for that. Well, is this a scripture? Is this terminology found in scripture? And of course, the answer is no, not exactly in these words. But the concept is expressed in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. And it's one of those ones you get there, you go, oh, yeah, I know that one. But you can't quote it until you get there. I have a whole Bible full of those kind of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So, in reality, faith is not sight. Recall back in Joshua 1. Go back there. Joshua 1. It's right after Deuteronomy. And we said some things, and it's been a while since we've said them, so I want to go back and look at this again. And I'm going to read the first 9 verses in Joshua 1, and see how this equates to the kind of faith that we need to be having. It says now in Joshua 1:1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That sounds familiar, don't it? It's been repeated several times in Scripture. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. That sounds familiar too, because it's written several times in Scripture. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, we spent early lessons on this Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, discussing Joshua 1, 9, and we noted that there are a lot of things in life that we can become dismayed about. The Hebrew word translated dismayed is chathath. It's number 02865 in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance, and it has the following meanings: to be dismayed, to be shattered, to be broken, to be scared, to be terrified, to be afraid, confounded, amazed, discouraged, beaten down, and be broken in pieces. Have we ever, any of us ever been there? Yes, we have. And we've all been dismayed, confounded, discouraged, beaten down, and broken in pieces. The Lord instructed Joshua to be strong in the Lord and to be of good courage. And this good courage can only come from the Lord. And we're to not to be afraid, not to be dismayed, not to be scared, not to be discouraged, not to be beaten down, and not to be broken in pieces. So we reference how Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in the spirit of what was written here in Joshua 1:9 and what was said in all of Hebrews 11 concerning the Old Testament worthies of faith, we came to the conclusion when we started this study that faith is not being dismayed. Faith is being not dismayed, if you will, as to what one man with faith in God can do. So, again, what is faith? Faith is being not dismayed at what God can do. The Apostle Paul, a New Testament worthy of faith, for sure, he said it like this in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. As a statement of faith. And that's how he lived his life. So, for a few moments, let's review what faith is not. Faith is not unbelief. That sounds real simple, don't it? And yet we latch on to unbelief real fast. And faith real slow, seems like. Unbelief can simply be defined as a lack of belief or a lack of faith. And these two are opposites, faith and unbelief. The last part of Romans 14:23, we find 8 words that we should memorize. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Ooh, that can't be right. Yeah, it is. That's what it says. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so these 8 words point the way to the full overcomer. We're talking about worthies of faith, right? And we read in Hebrews 11 how some of Old Testament times conquered unbelief. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 addresses the New Testament worthies of faith. And to qualify as a New Testament worthy of faith, one must, according to verse 1 of Hebrews 12, lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. In other words, To qualify as a New Testament worthy of faith, one must be void of unbelief. Let that sink in for a moment. Unbelief will not be a part of the wardrobe of a full overcomer. Remember all those things that the full overcomers accomplish in Revelation? We've seen them there in Ezekiel 1. Well, they didn't say, well, we can't do that. They were already knew that by faith they could accomplish what he told them to do. Why did he put those things out there for them to do? So unbelief will not be part of the wardrobe of a full overcomer. A full overcomer has overcome unbelief. I want you to think about it in name. One Old Testament worthy of faith who didn't overcome unbelief. We're all going to be faced with it at some point in time. And you won't be able to name one because they wouldn't be known as a worthy of faith if they, you know, they'd be like old Saul that we're talking about on Wednesday night. He couldn't believe anything, it seems like. Okay, now, there are four scriptures that essentially say the same thing. And we've gone over this. And this is, you'll recognize this statement. The just shall live by what? By faith. The just shall live by faith. That's found in Habakkuk 2:4. It's found in Romans 1:17. It's found again in Galatians 3:11. And it's found again in Hebrews 10:38. I think it was a favorite scripture of Paul's. And again, we just defined faith in Hebrews 11:1. I listened to my Sunday school, Sue listens to it, and I give a lot of bad references because I say the wrong verses because I can't read, I guess. Oh, my notes. Hebrews 11:1 says, defining faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Romans 10:17, which we started with this morning, tells us where faith comes from. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we also reference Revelation 19:13, where again we find that Jesus Christ himself is the word of God. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we see that faith cometh by hearing the word of God, and the word of God expounds unto us Jesus, who also is the author and finisher of faith. And as we noted earlier in this study, as the author and finisher of faith, Jesus is the authority on faith and the authority of faith. And we also noted that Jesus is presently seated upon the throne of authority at the right hand of the majesty on high, which is noted in Hebrews 1:3 and several other scriptures. I made mention of this at the men's dinner this last month, and probably in this class too. We find the word authority 37 times in the Word of God. 37, again, since you forgot some of the last couple of weeks, is the number associated with the Word of God. Wow. That's quite interesting that the word authority is found 37 times in the Word of God. The word authority references Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. Another interesting point to note concerning the number 37 is the phrase, his word, is found exactly 37 times in Scripture. Quite often it references the word of the Lord or the word of God. We find the phrase, by faith, how many times? Oh, good one. You're paying attention. 37 times. So, connecting the dots. The just shall live by faith, and since faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and since the word of God is another name of Jesus, who also is the author and finisher of faith, the authority on faith, and the authority of faith, don't you see then how we too can be a full overcomer? Like David of Old Testament times, who wrote in Psalm 56:4, in God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. Truly blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, as we noted in Jeremiah 17:7 earlier. So we'll have to conclude for this morning and pick these thoughts up next time, Lord willing.